Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
How many believe the Word of God is true this morning? Amen. And how many knows that today there is good fruit and there is bad fruit? And how many knows that we have the ability to produce both within our lives by choice? Amen. And so this morning, in following what Scripture says, we understand that a good fruit, or choice fruit, if you will, cannot come from a bad or an unhealthy tree, all right? Meaning that if our lives are a wreck, all right, there's no way for something good to be produced from a wreck, all right? Now, at the very same note, that which is bad or rotten fruit, it cannot come from a good or a healthy tree, meaning this, that if you are where you need to be, connected to the Lord, how many knows that He is the vine and we are the branches, right? And so if we are in Him and He is in us, we're connected to a good source, drawing from a good source. There is not a reason for us to be producing bad fruit if we're connected to something good. So this morning we have to take a look at what we are connected to. Amen. If we look at verse 44 again, it says, every tree will be revealed by the quality of the fruit that it produces. How many knows quality fruit is important? Amen. How many of you have ever gotten less than quality fruit in the natural? Right? And you're like, that just wasn't as good as, all right? How many knows there are better fruits to be had? Amen? And so if this morning we are born again, how many knows that there should be a better quality fruit living inside of us, being produced? The New King James, it says, for every tree is known by its fruit. Everybody say known. All right? Now this morning, whether you believe it or not, you are known by your fruit. Now, you may not think that. You may think it doesn't count for much. And again, fruit being basically your actions, your words, your deeds, and the quality and the character of them. You see, you are known for that. You're known for it at home. You're known for it at work. You're known for it at school. You're known for it wherever you go and whoever you're around. Because how many knows we do produce fruit? And we're either producing good fruit or we are producing bad fruit. Now, we would like to say there's a middle ground to that, but Scripture doesn't give a middle ground. It says you're either producing that which is good and healthy and pleasant and useful, or you're producing something that is of a negative content. It's bad. It's unproductive. It's worthless. You see, again, if we are born again, if we confess Christ as our Savior, we are known by our fruit, and it is important to know the quality of our fruit, and it's just as important to know that it determines how we are known. Again, I think a lot of times we just kind of like to live off of what is. We don't really live in a day. When I was growing up, a reputation was important. In the community, in your neighborhood, at your workplace. We don't really seem to be a culture where reputation matters much anymore. But can I tell you that if you are a child of God and you confess Him to be your Lord and Savior, that your reputation does matter? And what you produce from your life matters. You see, there is a difference between good fruit and bad fruit, all right? Again, good meaning that it is excellent in its nature, excellent in its character. Therefore, it's well adapted for its purpose. In other words, it's going to come forth and fulfill its intended purpose in life, all right? It's going to have excellent quality or excellent character about it. But at the very same time, we have to understand that while good fruit is a real thing, bad fruit is a real thing. And sadly, bad fruit is a real thing, even in the hearts and lives of some people who confess Christ to be their Savior. And see, if bad fruit is in the mix of your good fruit, what it does is bad fruit corrupts, and it says that it is no longer fit for use. How many of you, if you grabbed an apple out of a bushel of apples and it was bad, you would eat that apple? You're like, I know that's bruised. I know that's kind of got a little pungent sniff, Nah, you know what? It's okay. How many would eat that rotten apple? We wouldn't do that, right? But how many know sometimes we live in such a way where some of the fruit that people are being exposed to in our lives are rotten and we're okay with it? Well, shut up, Pastor John. You see, bad fruit, it wears people out. It's of poor quality. And basically the word says it is made to a position or a place where it is worthless. Again, we're not going to naturally partake in bad fruit, are we? So why do we settle for bad fruit in our spiritual lives and our spiritual attitudes and things of that nature? You see, an example of good fruit that we should be producing and therefore known by is the fruit of the Spirit. If we go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we see those things. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Meaning, if you have those things operating in your life, man, nobody can really say a thing about it. Because that is a representation of who God is in our lives. You see, but if we're not careful, what we'll be producing is not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not that good fruit. And again, that's scripturally not necessarily an all-complete list this morning. How many know that the Lord has issued other characteristics and traits beyond those that we need to be exemplifying this morning? You see, but it's a good starting place. And again, in that same starting place, if we were to think about what the opposite side of those things are, because if you're not producing love, more than likely you're producing hate. You see, that's the fruit you've chosen to produce. If not joy, then sadness. If not peace, then war. How many remember that spirit, that fruit of peace means to be a peacemaker? It's to always seek peace in every situation. And how many know sometimes if we're not producing that fruit in our lives, we can look at our life and understand that what we're producing is a warlike spirit where we want to argue and be contentious with everything and everyone. You see, if we're not producing kindness, we're being destructive. We're producing destruction. If we're not producing goodness, all right, what we're doing is we're producing ill will towards others. If we're not producing faithfulness, we're producing unfaithfulness. If we're not producing gentleness, we're maybe producing a harshness or an arrogance about our lives. And again, self-control. If we're not producing self-control, what we're doing is, like we talked Wednesday, we're being self-indulgent. And how many knows those aren't things that the Lord has called us to do or be or produce in our hearts and in our lives? You see, there is a difference between good fruit and bad fruit this morning, amen? And what we need to understand is that we are known by our fruit. We cannot pass that up this morning. We are known by our fruit. How we're, again, known at home, by our neighbor's school. How many knows right now there are people who have opinions of you because of the fruit that you produce? And some of us would say, well, that's not a fair opinion. But is it? Because have you produced something contrary to that opinion? Or if what you're producing only backs their opinion up, how many knows we're probably producing bad fruit? You see, this morning we need to understand that what we have is this fruit that we are known by, and it is produced, all right, from the treasure of our heart. Everybody say, I got a treasure. And this week we're not talking about magic treasures, all right? We're talking about the treasure of your heart. Anybody remember that old country song, Your Cheating Heart Will Tell on You? Well, I got another version for you. It's not as good, all right? And it probably won't make any, you know, waves in the music industry. But it's basically something of this nature, and I actually wrote lyrics out so that this moment wouldn't be as awkward as it is turning into, all right? The treasure of your heart will tell on you. You'll try and try, but it will produce. What you've stored up, it will shine through. The treasure of your heart will tell on you. Now, how many knows that that's kind of comical, but it's also true? What we store up will speak of who we are. We are known by our fruit. And so we have to make sure that we're producing the fruit that God desires us to produce. Luke chapter 6, again, verse 45, it says, people are known in this same way. Out of the virtue stored in their hearts, Good and upright people produce good fruit, but out of the evil hidden in their hearts, evil ones will produce what is evil. For the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit and will be heard in your words. How you are known is so important. And I think a lot of times we just kind of do life and live life and we don't really think about whether this is going to produce good fruit or if this is going to produce bad fruit. Because I think sometimes we're not so sure that it matters. But can I tell you this morning that it matters? You see, the New King James renders the end of that verse. It basically says, it uses the phrase, again, treasure of his heart. Everybody say treasure. Treasure basically represents this. If you look it up and you dive into the Greek a little bit, it basically means this: the storehouse of the soul as the repository of its thoughts, feelings, purposes, words, and deeds or actions. So we have this thing called the treasure of our heart, which we're responsible for putting and storing what it contains. So again, our thoughts, our feelings, our purposes, our words, our deeds, our actions. How many knows that sometimes we can have negative fruit that we are putting into our own lives? Because sometimes our thoughts aren't right. Sometimes our feelings are not correct. Sometimes what we have purposed within us is not in accordance or lining up with God's word. How many know sometimes we say things that God would never want us to say? And we act, we do things that God would never want us to do. Well, how does that happen? Is it just because, well, I'm human? Yes, in a way. But it's because we have chosen somewhere along the road to store that in our storehouse, to put that, to make that the treasure of our heart. Again, this is why the treasure of our hearts will determine the quality and character of our fruit. Again, whether it be good fruit or bad fruit. Again, let me say that. The treasure of our hearts will determine the quality and character of our fruit, whether it be good or bad. He said, for the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen. It will be seen. At some point, what you have put inside of your life by choice will come out. And it might come out in a moment where you're around somebody who can forgive you real quick. Maybe my bad fruit comes out in front of my wife and she says, all right, I can live with that. You made a mistake, whatever, it's okay. But how many know sometimes when bad fruit comes out, there's more witnesses? And how many knows we don't really need anything to work against us? We already have enough challenges living a Christian life all on our own, amen? Much less having fruit that is going to be working against us. You see, the New King James says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we use that a lot of times when people mess up what they say, right? Well, I didn't mean that. Oh, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, and I know you hate my guts. How many knows sometimes we just say things? But how many knows we say things based off of what we have stored in our hearts? You see, we want to excuse that away. Well, I said the wrong thing, or I didn't mean that. Well, you might not have meant it, but you stored it up, and it came out at the wrong time. You see, we have to make sure that we're not storing that which is bad, that which is rotten fruit, all right? When we speak, when we act, it is all drawn from our storehouse, according to Scripture. No matter what we're doing, what we're saying, it comes from what we have chosen to keep and treasure within our heart. And it is then brought to expression in accordance with our inner character. So how many know sometimes we have character flaws? It's because we're choosing to hold on to bad fruit. It's because we're choosing for certain things not to be run by or run through the Holy Spirit. You see, what we choose to treasure up, what we choose to keep in our storehouse will determine the quality and character of the fruit that is produced out of our lives. And we won't be able to deny either one. If it's good fruit, you won't be able to deny the good fruit. But if it's bad fruit, you won't be able to deny the bad fruit. So what's in your storehouse this morning? Because how many know sometimes we look real good on the outside, And we know the right words to say around the right people and to do the right things in the right places at the right times. But how many knows if we're not careful, that doesn't mean that our storehouse is only bearing good fruit. So what's in our storehouse this morning? What is it that we are treasuring within our heart and we're unwilling at this moment to maybe let go of? Is it good treasure that will produce good fruit? Or is it bad treasure that will produce bad fruit? Well, like I said, Pastor John, I really think it's somewhere in between. I don't know. This morning, we're either storing up good fruit or we're storing up bad fruit. Which is it? You see, fruit is determined by what we treasure, which is determined by our motivation. Everybody say motivation. Now, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Talk about motivation here for a minute. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The Passion Translation says this, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves, but those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. Again, if we look at that phrase, those who live according to, that's where the word motivation is coming from in the Passion Translation. And how many knows it is important how we live? Amen? It is important who we surrender, what becomes our motivation in life. Again, if we're looking at the fruit is the quality, the character of our words and actions. And those things are important because that is how we are known by those who are around us. But at the same time, that treasure, that storehouse from where we draw it from, it's all based back upon our motivation. And for me, when I began to think about that this week, I thought, man, the motivation is kind of like the marketplace. How many knows you can go to certain grocery stores and you can get a higher level quality of food than others, all right? And I'm not going to make fun of the Piggly Wiggly this morning because I've shopped there lots of times. It just has a weird name. The name sounds lesser, all right? But how many knows you can go to a store and you can get lesser quality food? But you can also go to a store and get fine quality food. And so I think in the same light, our motivation is that marketplace by which we buy our treasure. And so when we look at Romans chapter 8, it says we're either going to go to one of two marketplaces. We're going to go to the marketplace of the flesh and buy from the flesh what the flesh desires. Or we're going to go to the marketplace of the Spirit and buy what it desires for us because it knows what we need before we even ask. And so we're going to have good things come about from that. You see, flesh will only ever produce flesh. Can I tell you this morning that your fleshly carnal nature will never produce something that is good? Well, it's not that bad. Well, how many knows if it's not that bad, it's not good? Right? You see, when we're motivated by our flesh, we make decisions, we speak things, we act things according to self. And when we are doing things according to ourself, we're doing them apart from our faith, which means that we are working independent from God's inner working in our life. And I don't know about you, but I need as much of the Holy Spirit working in me as possible. Because again, I know what I will produce in and of myself and on my own. And it's bad fruit. It doesn't start with good. All right, it starts with bad. You see, flesh is strictly related to the element of human effort. It's what we can do, what originates from us and is only empowered by us. It proceeds out of, again, all of those untouched or unchanged, transformed parts of our lives that God has not yet been able to move in because we haven't surrendered them to him yet. You see, if we were to just kind of simply put it this morning, flesh is our human nature left to itself without the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit, leaving us subject to our own error and sin. Again, we cannot produce that which is good, that which is holy, that which is righteous in and of ourselves today. That can only come from walking not in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit will only ever produce that which is of the Spirit, its nature, his character, those things that God has set and ordained. So when we live according to the Spirit, what happens is we bear the nature of the Holy Spirit. we begin to reflect those things like love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. All of those things begin to be what we produce. And not only what we produce, but that's what we're storing up. That's what we're seeking. That's what we're inputting into our storehouse and making our treasure. You see, when we live according to the Spirit, we are under the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're not living according to our will, not living according to our personal desires. And how many knows we have those things? I think that's why Paul said you have to crucify your flesh daily. We can't say today I'm going to live by the flesh and tomorrow I'm going to live by the Spirit. Because when we do that, that's when we begin mixing bad apples with the good ones. And how many knows that's when those pressure moments come and you're reaching for that fruit. You're reaching for that thing to say. You're reaching for that thing to do. And when you reach down, what you pull up is rotten. And that is what is expressed in that moment instead of that which is good and of the Spirit. How many knows today it's important for us to understand that we are known by our fruit, and it's important for us to understand where we get our fruit. And if we constantly sow to the flesh, we're going to reap from the flesh. But if we constantly sow in the Spirit, we're going to reap from the Spirit. Amen? This morning, it is up to us what marketplace that we choose to shop at and what we invest in for our storehouse. We cannot blame our pastor for those moments. I know you would like to, and I'm real blamable. I have that kind of face. It happens. But it's not my fault when you produce bad fruit. The same way it's not your fault when I produce bad fruit. You see, we have to stop pushing our bad fruit and our issues off on other people because they didn't put it in your storehouse. You chose to put it in your storehouse. You chose to make that a part of the treasure of your heart. You see, we can't place the blame on other people. We can only place the blame on ourselves this morning, myself included. What we must understand is that the flesh, again, it will never produce good fruit. There's never a moment where you, how many knows you can take a rotten apple and you can stick it in a bushel of good apples and it will not become good? There is no way possible for that rotten apple to be turned into a good apple because it's rotten, it's worthless, it's useless. It's not fit for use, it's not fit for consumption anymore. And how many knows what will happen if we leave that, even just that one rotten thing in our lives? How many knows that one rotten apple will begin to corrupt the good fruit, though? You see, and that's what so often I think we do as believers. Well, it's just this thing. It's just this one item. I just can't get over that. I just need to hang on to that just a little longer. But the whole time we're hanging on to it, just a little longer because we don't really want to get rid of it yet. We feel justified hanging on to that bad fruit because somebody really ticked me off the other day and I have this really good comeback. So the next time they tick me off, man, I've got it worked out. I've got it written down in my notes and I'm going to give it to them. You see, but the whole time we're holding on to that bad fruit, it's corrupting the good fruit that is in our lives. You see, it is our job to shop and invest wisely and to guard what we treasure up in our hearts. It is our responsibility, each of our own. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says this, "So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they will affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." You and you alone have to guard your heart. Because everything that you find affection for will have an effect in your life. Whether that is good or whether that is bad, it will come forth. And so we have to pay attention. We have to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do so that what does flow from our life accurately describes Him and doesn't really look a lot like us. Because how many know if we are going to act in our own human nature, our own carnality, that it's never going to be good enough? Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. In closing this morning, I think that we need to remember that part of guarding our hearts is taking an inventory of our storehouse. You're the only one that can do that this morning. God sees your heart. He knows what's in your heart. I believe that the Holy Spirit is there, and he is trying to lead us and guide us into a place where what we put on our heart will produce that which is good and not that which is bad. But when it's all said and done, we have to yield to him. We have to yield to his word. We have to be the ones who choose to sow in the Spirit so that we may reap in the Spirit. I can't do that for you. I can't hold your hand. I can't walk through life with you. But this morning, you have the ability to make that choice. You have the ability to take inventory of your heart this morning, inventory of your storehouse. And so in doing that, we need to examine the fruit. Is it of good quality? Is it of good character? Or is what we're storing of poor quality and it's really not fit for use because it's actually worthless and it's not going to produce anything good in nature at all? You see, the bad fruit must be removed. The bad fruit must be removed from our lives so that it doesn't contaminate and corrupt that which is good. But again, the only person that can do that this morning is you. You have to surrender to the Holy Spirit and say, hey, I know I'm hanging on to this element of bitterness. I'm hanging on to this fruit of resentment. I'm hanging on to this fruit of whatever it may be this morning that you know in no shape, form, or fashion is it ever going to produce that which is good in your life. Again, just like a moment ago, one rotten apple can ruin the whole bushel. And the same is true for our spiritual lives. When we make the statement that we are a Christian, that we are a follower of Christ, can I tell you that if you didn't have eyes watching you, you have more eyes watching you now? You thought nobody was watching before. I guarantee you, if you have ever made the statement within your workplace, within your family circle, that you are a Christian, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you have more eyes watching you than you realize. And do you know what those people love to do? They love to watch for bad fruit. Because they love to be able to say, well, you say this, but you produce this. It's important for us to understand that we are known by our fruit. So watch the things that you say. You're not justified to produce fruit of anger or bitterness or resentment. We're not entitled to that as Christians. And as much as that may maybe take the wind out of your sail this morning, we need to understand that we're to be members of righteousness. We're to represent Christ well. How many knows when he walked up, what was it, to the fig tree, and it looked like it was producing, but he got there and it wasn't? What did he do? Did he say, oh, well, better try next time? No, he cursed that thing. It shriveled up and rotted away. Well, there's grace, and there is, and how many are thankful for grace today? Because if not, we may be one withered orchard this morning. You see, grace is available, and let's take it, and let's apply it appropriately to our lives, amen? That we can produce good fruit for his glory, for his name this morning. We need to pay attention and look deep within ourselves, deep within our own storehouses this morning, and make sure that what we're treasuring up within our hearts is good fruit that will speak good words and create good actions. So that the overflow, the abundance of our life will begin to be pleasing not just to God, but it would bring glory to his name. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. And God, I know that sometimes it's hard for us to, God, acknowledge that there may be something inside of us that you do not approve of. God, because we've hidden it, we've suppressed it. But Lord, this morning, I believe that your word challenges us to understand that we are known by what comes out of our mouth. We're known by the actions that we choose to put into action. And Father, your word declares that it's going to produce something either good or bad. It's going to be of excellent quality and character and nature, or it's going to be no longer fit for use. It's going to be corrupted. It's going to be worthless. So, Father, our desire, I hope this morning, is to produce that which is good. God, to allow your Holy Spirit to be our motivation. God, let it be the source from which we pursue and we draw from this morning, so that what is stored in our hearts, God, that treasure that we possess today, God, is of the highest quality and caliber and nature and characteristics possible, God, because it's yours. It's yours that we're trying to place and displace everything else. So God, let us today, I pray, examine our hearts. God, let us be able, God, to honestly take a look at our hearts this morning. And Lord, if there's anything in there at all, God, that would begin to corrupt everything else that is good, let us be willing today to pull that out and to lay it down before you. And God, be filled with something better. Father, I ask this in your precious name today.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.